Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media and recorded weekly on Reconcile to You Facebook page. Usually Mondays at 12:30, but today we're meeting at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. Reason? I just didn't feel like it yesterday. How's that for honest? You know, just some days you just know you don't have anything to say and it wouldn't be good. So I didn't. I saved it for today. Plus, Mondays sometimes are just crazy. I don't know about your Monday, but my Monday, trying to get back into the workflow, trying to get myself pried off the couch. I try to use Sundays. I truly, truly, truly try to use my Sunday as a day of rest. Like, that's what we're called to do, right? God commands it, commands that we rest. And I think he commands we rest because he knows that some of us, me particularly, would not rest. I would use every moment of every day because that's kind of how I operate. But I love that he says, no, you need to rest and relax and chill, Allison. You just need to chill. So this weekend, I did that. I chilled. I watched some football. I cleaned. You know what I watched before we get into today's topic, which is anxiety and scriptures and worry and all the wonderful words that the Lord gives us to strengthen us and to, strengthen us and comfort us. Those are what I'm looking for. I decided to do Netflix for a month for, they have that 1 month free. So I'm like, I'm going to just try Netflix for a month. I was binging on The Office. I know I'm about 5 years. Hi, Joe. I'm about 5 years late or more for The Office. I'm just jumping on the bandwagon now. Discovered it Christmas night. And so I've been binging on that. And I'm like, if they have all of it on Netflix. So let's just, anyway. So I found this show, Tidying Up, with this adorable little Japanese woman. Maria something. And I'm just one of those people who gets completely motivated by these shows. I don't know what it is in my personality, but by the end of the watching, binging on the first season, I had taken every single thing out of my closet, my drawers, and I had decluttered my clothes. And she has this really neat way of folding things that you like stack them and you can see them all when you open your drawer. Fabulous, just brilliant, really. So that's what I spent. I mean, I guess that's really not relaxing, but considering I never do it and I relax too much sometimes when it comes to housework, and my hands are they're not great, but they were definitely cooperating enough that I could fold laundry. You have no idea like what a remarkable moment that was for me. I haven't been able to fold laundry in a very long time, not without substantial pain and discomfort. Hi, Oliver. So we're just talking about relaxing, that we're given that opportunity to relax, talking about doing our laundry, decluttering. Decluttering feels good, you know, simplify. I don't know what I was just watching, but it was, it might have been the homily. It might have been my new pastor's homily, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, Father Rich. it may have been the simplifying your life. Like, and I think that for somebody who worries and has anxiety, like I do, kind of going to a more simpler life is a good thing. So after watching the show, I decided to simplify my clothes. I realized I was wearing the same few things. I didn't like most of what I owned because I'm the kind of person who goes in and out of three different sizes in a year. or two or three. And sometimes I just buy clothes to be comfortable, to fit me, but I don't really think about fashion or, really taking care of myself. So I decided to, she talks about it, sparking joy. If it doesn't spark joy, you get rid of. I just went with, like, if it's not fashionable, it doesn't fit, it's not fashionable, out. So that was really a wonderful way. And then to talk about a little bit about my hands and why they're doing better, I have been working with a health coach, Pam, who's phenomenal. I absolutely love this woman. God is so good. He like totally spoils me. So I did the Catholic Marketing Network over the summer, and Pam was my roommate. And so every morning, this wonderful woman would get up and make shakes for herself, and she was eating bananas and taking really good care of herself. We were talking about her health and chronic inflammation, and she didn't have eczema like I do, but she had other symptoms, you know, from her inflammation, and just fascinating woman. So we've been working together for a few months, and so the last 3 months we've been kind of trying to get some of the stuff out of my system and out of my diet that I should not be eating at all. And we're finally to a point where I'm ready to do the big detox, which is like really pare down. Food is an addiction, by the way. Sugar is an addiction. Food, the things I love, I just to make it more simpler because I'm everywhere. Pam really put it in perspective when she said, you have been eating this way for 50 years. You're not going to just stop craving these things that for 50 years you have been eating. It takes a while, and it's a real addiction. And it's not one of those addictions like I smoked when I was younger. Cold turkey, I was done. You can't just walk away from food. You need to eat. So it's a struggle. It's a real struggle. And I wish more people understood that. And looked at it more seriously of what it is. It is a struggle. It is not easy. And you should not feel guilty that you struggle with food. Like we think it's like, oh, it's just me. I'm weak-minded. It's like there's something wrong with me. No, it's a hard addiction to break. So we need to not feel so bad about ourselves. But for me, dysandrotic eczema woman, when I have certain foods and trying to figure out which ones they are, has been 3 years of just hit or miss and not really figuring it out. But we're getting there because, you know, they're not the size of Cleveland. They're not sausages. They're closed for them. Yeah, they're all closed, and they work. They're a little stiff, but they work. We've been taking out grains and dairy and gluten and soy. And I did have two slip-ups last week. We went out to eat for Faithy's birthday, and then one of the seminarians was here, one of the seminarians from our village. I don't know where that came from, you know, from the village, from our parish that's in town, and I wanted to spend some time with him, and we went out to dinner, me, my husband, and him and his mom, and Faithy, of course, and I may have had a beer. I haven't had a beer in 2 years. That was yummy. But it wasn't probably the best decision. And so easy it is to kind of fall into these bad habits, or these old habits. I should say these old habits. And this really does directly relate to worrying, anxiety, because for me, anxiety is a habit. It is old habits. I've been doing it for a very long time. I tease all the time. If you could medal in worrying, I would be an Olympian. I'd be a gold medal winning Olympian for sure, because I'm just really good at it. I'm really good at worrying about everything. Just, I'm that good. I'll just put this up here. I kind of forgot that I, just today's topic is worry. And worry, can't type, worry, and the scriptures And I think this will be a great topic for us to get started. This is kind of the topic of my next book coming out in May. But for the book, I spend much more time talking about our Blessed Mother, but obviously everything I write is scripture based. So it's a scripture study. It's a faith sharing book, and it's about worry. And the more time I spent with some of the scriptures, there's 365 plus to pick from, the more I realize I really wanted to share this with all of you. So with you today. And I accidentally posted on Monday on my Facebook page, my private Facebook, that I wasn't going to be here today, which was kind of funny. Yesterday, I said I wasn't going to be here yesterday. And one of my priest friends saw it and reminded me of John 14:1. So I figured nothing is ever coincidence. That's a God-cidence. I mean, all this is all scriptural. God uses all things for good. So if I mess up and put something where it doesn't belong, I know that God can make it right, and he does. And it's not a mistake. It's just a God-cidence. God just uses it for good. So we're going to look at John 14:1 to begin with. And I had a really fun story for John 14:1 that I wanted to share with you. But first, I want to read it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And that's obviously our Lord speaking. A couple of years ago now, maybe it wasn't that long ago. Maybe it was last year. I don't remember when it was, but anyway, I had gone for a mammogram. And because of the inflammation gone unchecked, I had an enlarged lymph node in my mammogram, and it was pretty scary ordeal. I don't know if you've ever gone for one of those, but when you go for one and they come back and they, you know, tell you to sit and wait a minute, my heart just breaks for women who have that experience and don't have the outcome that I had, where it was just an enlarged lymph node and it was not, praise the Lord, cancer. But it took a very long time for them to get from the point of this enlarged lymph node and trying to determine what it was. I had to go through many, many weeks of worrying. And if you're a worry wart like me, you automatically go to the worst case scenario. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I was a wreck. Well, let me lie. I lied. I could eat, because when I'm nervous is when I eat more than when I'm not nervous. I wish I was one of those people who gets upset about stuff and stops eating. My husband does that. We got a dog and he lost like 15 pounds because he was so uptight about the dog. Me, I'm not the other way around. The more nervous I get, the more I eat. And since I'm always nervous, yeah, I'm always eating. So I turned to the scriptures, and this is really a great technique if you're a big-time worrier like me. Turn to the scriptures. Fine, you can use a concordance. You can go to the appendix at the end of the back of the book. Look up anxiety, worry, trust, peace, hope. Look up all those words, and you will be led to a scripture that will help you in your times of distress. God doesn't want you to be anxious or worried. He wants you to be at peace. Jesus says, I've come to give you peace and give it to you abundantly, but not as the world gives. So the world ain't giving us his word. So we have to turn there on our own. So that day, I came home and I was like, all right, I have some go-tos that we're going to talk about, but I kind of just really wanted God to speak to my heart. And I was led to let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So to just kind of turn my heart to God, like, I believe you, Jesus, I trust in you. Whatever the outcome, it's going to be okay. I had to go for several ultrasounds. I had to go for a biopsy. But one of the moments with the ultrasound, and something I wanted to talk about today, was signs and wonders. You know, the scriptures talk about signs and wonders, that God sent signs of his coming, the star, sending signs and giving signs is something that the Lord does in the scriptures. It's a thing that God does. And we know that God is unchanging. Hebrews, something or other. God is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. So the God who sent signs many years ago in the scriptures, he's still going to be the God that sends signs to us today. Now, we have to be very careful when asking for signs. We can't use signs to predict the future. We can't use signs to put words in God's mouth. But we can use the gift of signs and wonders to give ourselves peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding, as St. Peter would say. And I'm not sure exactly when I started to turn to God for signs or how I came upon these two signs. And I may dive into that a little bit more in the book. I know that my first book, The Gift of Invitation, I talk about the butterfly sign, but I don't talk about the purple rose sign. I haven't talked about that one yet, but mostly because I'm a brat. And I was praying to St. Therese and I'd asked for a rose, but I wanted to be absolutely sure it was a rose for me. So, of course, being the brat that I am, I'm like, yeah, I'll take a purple rose. And I get them. I get butterfly signs and I get purple roses. And I don't know what your sign would be. And you know, there's something for you and God to discuss. And again, you can't use these signs to be like, oh, I saw a butterfly. That means X, Y, and Z. All it means is for me, and I feel like I'm supposed to share with you, all it means is God is listening. God is near. God hears your cries. You're not alone. And it's just this beautiful sign that God is with you. And sometimes it is peace. Sometimes I do know, okay, this is like the hypochondria. This isn't a true sign. This isn't, you know, a true feeling. Like for me, with hypochondria, you feel things, you start to worry, you get off the internet instantly. Like I get there and I'm typing away and I'm looking for all these things at what could be wrong with me. And that's just crazy. Like that doesn't help anything. That will not make you feel less anxious. So turning to him over the internet, you know, and there's also going to the doctor, but sometimes, you know what, all I need is that sign from God that all is well. And that often comes from first turning to the scriptures, turning to him in prayer. And then, you know, like yesterday, I was just feeling weird. Like I just kept coughing. And I don't have a cold, but I do have the inflammation causes all kinds of crazy things. And I just knew on my way there, I was like, you know, I'm okay. I know I'm okay. And I met this the woman that I was meeting for coffee, and I go to sit down and there's this giant pot with a huge butterfly on it. I'm like, okay, there are five different places to sit. There are a million places we could have chosen to go, but yet we chose that place at that time with that pot there in this chair that I like right behind the chair I chose. Like those are the things, those God-cidental moments where, you know, you couldn't have lined up those things if you tried. You couldn't have made those things be the way that they are. And that's part of having faith and part of where the peace comes from. When you can turn and go, okay, I could not have made these circumstances happen. So how did they happen? Coincidence? Or am I going to use this opportunity to turn and strengthen my faith? Okay, I prayed. I prayed and I asked the Lord either through Jesus or through the Blessed Mother or through some saint or my guardian angel, I asked for this favor. And here the prayer is being answered in a way that's just crazy. One day I was completely out of my mind with worry and I got a random sale flyer and on it were purple roses with blue butterflies. And so like that's kind of my thing, purple roses and blue butterflies. He could have picked any color. And who puts those two things together? These are crazy things. And I could have just been like, oh, that's the weirdest coincidence, toss. But instead I was like, Lord, I mean, this brought me to tears. I was so moved that God would be like, I know you're worrying, Allison. You are important to me. I don't forget you. God ceases to think about us for a second, we would cease to exist. The fact that he never forgets about us, that he sends us these beautiful little signs and wonders that he's thinking of us. He loves us. He cares. He knows our troubled hearts. And then, you know, the scriptures just solidify even more that the desire to know him and to hear from him. So John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And That's so thank you, Father Jeff, for reminding me of that one. But I'm going to share a couple of my go-tos, a couple of my favorites. One of them is 1 Peter 5:7. And I'm going to switch that up there. 1 Peter 5:7. Let me just, when I say this, who are listening, like, what are you doing? On the video version, which you can get off of Facebook, Reconcile to You. I'm trying to get them all onto YouTube. And onto my website, Reconcile to You. But if you ever want to see a video and you're not a Facebook person, let me know. I will download it someplace where you can find it. I'm happy to share it. I wrote a blog post actually about 1 Peter 5:7. I'll try to remember to tag it with the show notes for A Seeking Heart, which is what you're listening to right now. But 1 Peter 5:7, I love the practical use of prayer and faith in our life. Like, I think having a strong faith life is only helpful if we see how we can utilize it in our day-to-day, everyday life. And St. Peter is this great example, which I maybe for the most of the beginning of my faith life didn't really see Peter as an example of how you use your devotion to God in your everyday, ordinary life. But 1 Peter 5:7 kind of started to change the way I thought about that. So here's what St. Peter has to say in his letter, 1 Peter. It says, this is actually 5:6, and then I'll lead into it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. And here's 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. I thought, that's an odd way of wording that. Cast your anxieties. And so, you know, my husband and I, when we first started dating, we did a lot of fishing. My husband loves to fish. And since I loved him and wanted to be with him, I was trying to woo him, I would go fishing with him. And we would bring fishing poles. And we would spend hours casting out the fishing pole and rolling it back in. Cast and roll, reel, cast and reel. And when I first read Cast All Your Anxieties, that's the image I had. Me taking my fishing pole and casting and reeling back in. One line, one worm, one hook. Out and back in. So I thought, I just take one care and send it to God. But then being me, when God doesn't answer it quick enough, or I start to worry that I'm bothering God, I quickly reel it back in. I said, no, but Peter was a fisherman. He didn't use any pole. He used a net. He would cast the entire net over the side of the boat and wait for the fish to fill it. Wouldn't cast it back in until it was, he wouldn't pull it back in until it was time. He would not pull it back in. He would not touch it until it was time. And I just realized I did not mark my Bible of where I wanted to go next. So I guess you're going to get the Alice in a Bridge version unless I find it while I'm looking. I was in reading this saying, okay, what does Peter know about anxieties? Like, why would Peter even be talking about this? Like, I couldn't think of what he had to worry about and what did this have to do with. Like, on one authority was Peter sharing this story with us. And then it dawned on me. Peter was a fisherman. And there was a night of fishing that didn't go very well for Peter. He cast the nets again and again, and nothing was caught. And then Jesus shows up. And he doesn't know this is Jesus. He doesn't know, excuse me, what Jesus is about to do or ask of him. Jesus merely says, what are you doing? Cast your net that way. And he's like, dude, I've been at this all night and I'm kind of a trained professional and nothing has changed. Like, I'll do it your way. But I'm telling you right now, there's no fish here. But he listens and he casts his net. Now, when we think about Peter as a fisherman, he wasn't like me and Kevin on the side of some lake just killing time and getting to know each other. This is his job. And he was a boss. He had many people who were counting on him to catch the fish so that they would have money. They would have food to eat, but they also needed the income of this fish to pay their bills, to take care of their families. He had the weight of the world of these men and their families on his shoulders. That's a lot of anxiety. Just having to earn money for my own family to help us pay our bills. I understand that fear and that anxiety. And so here we have Peter with Jesus, and he's worried, he's anxious, and Jesus says, cast your nets this way. Stop doing what you know. Stop doing what you have been doing again and again and again. What's the definition of anxiety, of insanity? Doing the same thing again and again and expecting some different result. Jesus says, cast your nets this way. And Peter does. And he catches the hugest amount of fish ever. Like it's sinking the boat. He's caught so much. And it's abandonment. And I see, Jen, I'm going to read your, one of my favorites. I'm going to read your quote from Father Dolindo in a minute. Love him. And I love his novena of abandonment, surrender, novena of surrender. Beautiful. I'm going to read that in just a moment. Just abandoning himself and surrendering himself to Jesus, trusting in him, trusting in his ways, letting go of his fears, his worries, his anxieties, his doubts, and casting according to what God has told him to do. And then reaping that reward of the trust. Now, I'm not saying that every time we trust him, we're going to end up with this big catch, or it's going to always go our way. But the peace is a reward enough. Jen writes, and she's quoting Father Dolindo, abandonment in me does not mean being frustrated, becoming anxious and desperate, offering me your anxious prayer that I may follow you and have anxiety be a prayer. Abandonment means to shut your eyes of the soul and peace moving through your thoughts away from your troubles. And instead of thinking about your worries and pain, let me take over your troubles. Let not your heart be worried. Jen, that was beautiful and perfect. It fit both. I love when the Holy Spirit does that. It just shows up, takes what the Holy Spirit's put on my heart to share. Not from notes. There's no notes here, just the scriptures. Taking those, you know, what he put on my heart, and then sending us this affirmation from one of his servants of God, Father Dolindo. I don't even know how you say that. Rotolo, Rotolo, beautiful. Thank you, Jen. That was perfect. Absolutely perfect. So I don't know if I ever finished telling that. I did not finish my story. It's almost like in the scriptures where we have Jesus on the way to heal the centurion's daughter, and the hemorrhaging woman kind of intercedes in that story. And we have to kind of now for the rest of the story, little Paul Harvey there. So I didn't finish telling. So I went for this mammogram, and I had this enlarged lymph node, and I was getting an ultrasound, and I laid down to get the ultrasound, and I look up, and there is a mobile over my head, and it's butterflies. It's just this mobile of butterflies in the most random place. Why do you put a mobile over the table there? What's that called? The ultrasound table. And then there is these mobiles of butterflies. And I just felt in my heart, like, you're going to be okay, but it's going to be a while before you know. And just to be at peace with it and trust the Lord in it. Like, the Lord's going to use this to teach you a great, great many things about himself and about you, and to trust in it. And I think that's part of, like, when we're going through a suffering, or we're even before we get to the suffering, we're just worried about the anticipation of suffering. Like, we don't want to go there. We think, oh, it's going to be awful, and I don't want that. But God's like, no, I make all things good. Romans 8:28, I promise in all things to make good. So when you're given that promise, then every single thing that God allows into your life, he doesn't bring the bad. He's good. He can do nothing else but bring good. But he But our fallen world, our fallen nature, there's lots of awful things that happen to people, sickness, accidents. People are hurt in their hearts by other people, job loss, just all kind of, like, you name it, bad, it can happen. But God didn't create that. It's part of our fallen nature. But he allows these things into our life because when we turn to him in them, he will bring good from it. And in that, really, truly, I found in those few weeks a great deal of good, learning to turn to him more, more time in the scripture, really seeing his peace and what he had to offer. And that's when I discovered John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. So fast forward, I've had the ultrasound, I've had the mammograms, I'm waiting for the results. And my friend who was in Rome at the time came home to be ordained. Now he was leading up to his ordination. Hi, Anna. And I did not want to upset him or bother him with my problems. So I decided to keep all of this from him. The mammogram, the inflammation, the scriptures, all of it. I kept it all from him. But I knew that I had to do a confession at some point at all of the doubt and despair I had fallen into in the meantime while I was learning to trust and love the Lord with all my heart in that whole process. So he gets ordained, and then he's in town for a couple more days. And I said, oh, Father Kevin, I really, really want to have a confession with you. I mean, I've been telling you my problems for the last 20 years. Now you can actually do something about it. I know so many people who will not go to confession with their friends who are priests. But for me, again, I've always turned to Kevin and shared my heart and shared my problems and my faults and my failings. And now he can help me be forgiven for them through his ordination and bringing Christ to me in that beautiful sacrament of reconciliation. So the two of us find some time. I drive all the way to where he is, and I start to share about just about the despair, but I go into no detail. I just said, no, I'd been through some health crisis, and it was really difficult for me, and I fell into despair, and I'm just so sorry I didn't trust in the Lord. And Kevin takes a moment, Father Kevin takes a moment, and he says, I feel like this scripture, I just need to share the scripture with you. And he quotes, let not your heart be troubled, from John 14. And my jaw just hit the floor. Tears started to pour down my face. It was just that moment of seeing that sacrament for what it really is. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ. Like, Jesus was there. There's no way Kevin could have known that. Sure, he could have pulled that. Like, oh, okay, well, that's on an unknown verse. But how would he know in that moment? Like, that was the verse I had been given. There's 365 verses in here about not being worried. He could have picked any, but he picked that one. And again, that's putting your heart with Christ in the God-sentence moments, instead of saying, oh, that was the weirdest coincidence. No, knowing without a shadow of a doubt, that was God. He just broke through in through that sacrament to my heart to help me. Jen is just sharing that her oldest will be ordained in May. Oh my gosh. And I can't wait to go to confession to my own child, Jen. That is fantastic. Oh, I would totally go to confession to my son. Absolutely, without a doubt. Both my sons couldn't believe it when I said that. They're like, no, you wouldn't go to us. I'm like, are you kidding? And that's so cool. You're so blessed, Jen. I'll be praying for your son and his class. Oh, I have a godly jealousy. Not going to lie, I would love for my boys to become priests. At this point, I'd love for my boys just to go to church. That's another story for another day. Another anxiety that we will get to in the next couple of months. Well, just that breaking through, that the veil between heaven and earth is so much thinner than we think it is. Like, we think God is so distant and God is so far away. And then we have these moments in our life where we see that he's not. He's right there. Every moment of every day, and he cares about us, and he knows our worries. He knows what we're worried about. He wants us to cast our anxieties upon him because he cares for us. He wants us to turn to his word and to his scripture and find the comfort that we so desire in our hearts and in our lives. And wow, I just feel so overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Jen, just share that my other four are heathens. I feel ya. That's fantastic. my now 13-year-old daughter has been definitely on her brothers lately. Why don't you go to church? Why don't you go to church? I love that better. Well, that makes me feel better because you worry, I think, as a parent, like, what did I do wrong? What could I have done differently? But clearly, if you have won the seminary, about to be ordained, you've done nothing wrong. You've done everything you could. And I think that's another lesson for parents, which, again, we are definitely going to be hitting upon that in a future podcast, because when I do my prayer requests on Facebook, that's always inevitably at least one or two people will ask me to pray. Now, Anna has two incredibly faithful daughters, so more godly jealousy. She did extra right. No wayward children, no heathens in our house. I love that, Jen. That's going to make me laugh all day. I'm thinking of it, I'm just going to giggle out loud. That's what I'm going to do. So this, another, just one more that I wanted to share with you. And I think it's one that if you're going to memorize a verse, this is one, because it's just chock full of love. It's chock full of hope and love and just so many good messages from our Lord. Hi, Joe. Long time no see. Joe's sharing, I love going to confession with a newly ordained priest. Just something about the experience and the penance given. I know of a priest who always asks each person to pray for him in the confessional. Oh, that's beautiful. I was once told that priests had to do the penance, every penance that they gave. So I asked my pastor that, and he's like, no. He's like, I do pray for everybody who comes to confession through me. I try to offer some kind of penance for them, some kind of fasting. Like, I think he fasts from certain things. Obviously, he wasn't going to give me details because that, you know, that whole doing your goodness and secret. But I think the idea of going to a newly ordained, you know, they're, and it's not like, I love all confession. Let's just be honest. It's my favorite thing. But I think that newness, that excitement, you know, I went a couple weeks ago and the priest is lovely. He's just overworked. And he clearly, my sins are really boring because he was nodding off. I was like, dude, like, is it just my voice? My husband does the same thing when I start to talk. I was like, I need to think of something more juicy because clearly whatever I did this week, not exciting enough. And a priest falling asleep. Another thing about newly ordained priests, we were just talking about this last night in Bible study that maybe a few women didn't know. So I want to share that in the first year of ordination, a priest can give you a blessing, a special blessing that is an indulgence, and it is forgiveness of your temporal punishment from sin. And let me explain what that is. This is the best way I could think of explaining a temporal punishment. Let's say you borrow my car and you know, you're driving down the street and maybe you decide to answer your phone or you reach back to grab something or you look away for a second and you have a car accident. It was your fault. You were doing something negligent, but you come to me and you say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I know better. I shouldn't have done that. It's just a lapse of reason for a minute. You know, I know not to look away, but this caught my attention. I fell into temptation and I looked out the window or I grabbed back for my phone, even though I know better. And I say to you, of course I forgive you. I get that you're sorry. And we all make mistakes. We all fall into temptations to do things that we know we shouldn't be doing. However, there's still a matter of my smashed up car that you need to make amends for. So even though I've forgiven you, and that's the forgiveness that we receive in confession, there's still the penance that needs to be served, temporal punishment, in this case, my smashed up car. I hope that makes sense. So when you get a blessing from a newly ordained priest and it's for the entire year from their ordination, the indulgence is on a removal of the temporal punishment. But you also have to there's partial and full indulgences. And when you're given this beautiful blessing, there's also things that you need to do. You need to go to confession within, I think, 20 days of receiving the blessing. You need to receive communion and you need to pray for the intentions of the Pope. You can look that up, or I'll remember to put a link in there. I wanted to blog about it. So new priest indulgence. I'll have to try to remember. Made a note, try to remember to do that. So it's just so beautiful. Such a beautiful thing. And the last one I wanted to share with you. Oh, I have some notes I needed to. So Anna is saying, your daughters have taught you so much about God, and God has brought me closer to my girls, to getting closer to Him. You are blessed. She wrote, I'm blessed. And I'm paraphrasing by saying, yes, yes, my friend, you are very blessed. And you're warm while we all freeze. So there's that. Anna moved to Arizona from chilly Massachusetts. So I'm kind of jealous that if she's cold, it's because she's in air conditioning, not because it's 29 degrees outside. So this is the last thing for today that I wanted to share with you is one of my absolute favorites. The very first scripture I ever memorized, which was Philippians. Let me write this down. Philippians 4:6. I think I just do 6-7. We'll do both of them. Read this to you. Have no anxiety about anything. Lose your first directive. Have no anxiety about anything. Anything. Like, you have no past to worry about a thing. Like, God doesn't say, have no anxiety about children or finances, but you can worry about your health all you want. Nope. St. Paul says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So petition is another way of saying that. So praying and asking with a thankful heart. Blessed Solanus Casey, one of my favorite American saints. Blessed Casey's from Michigan. And his famous saying is, thank God ahead of time. So thank God ahead of time. Oh, here's Solanus Casey. If you're looking on the video, this cute little capuchin. So adorable. So thank God ahead of time. So worry about nothing. In everything, pray and ask with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. Now, of course, He knows your heart. He gave you your brain. He can read it. But that's one of the beautiful things that we have, the cooperation, our free will. We need to ask. So ask. Make your requests known to God. Ask. And the peace of God. Now, here is this understanding, this beautiful lesson that it took me very long to learn, that the answer to every prayer is always peace. Like, you might not get what you asked for. You might not get the conclusion you're looking for, but every prayer is answered with some form of grace and peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful gift. It's a gift that God gives us in these scriptures. And here we have Philippians 4:6-7. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Ask with thanksgiving. And let the Lord fill your heart with peace. The Allison Abridged version of Philippians 4:6. I think we're going to spend 2019 looking at worry and anxiety and scriptures and our faith and all the treasures that our faith, the Catholic faith, has to offer that helps us to work within those fears and anxieties with these beautiful gifts of grace that the Lord just pours, like lavishes upon us. We don't need to be worried. We don't need to be afraid. And I think this will be the year that we do this. And I hope you're going to do it along with me. Though the word that I got for the year was organized. So if you were listening at the beginning of the show, you'll know I'm working on that too. And I think that that's going to help me with my anxieties as well, because I'm starting to simplify. Complicated lives, chaotic lives are hard to find peace in. So I started by watching this tidy up show and dumping out all my clothes and organizing that. Next comes this clawfis, which is an office, but looks more like a closet. That's another show for another time. I want to really just thank you again for spending your time with me. If you have any questions or any help with anything, you need a prayer, I'm always available for prayer requests. I go to Adoration a couple times a week. just send me an email at reconciledtoyou@gmail.com. And I will be very happy to pray for you anytime. You can leave a message on Facebook for prayer. You can go to redboxmedia.com, which is where you can find the rest of my podcasts. And also, don't forget to visit reconciledtoyou.com. We have a great series starting today. As soon as I get off and go post it, it is a series on what does the Catholic Church really have to offer me. And I've about 10 other women writing beautiful blog posts about Catholic art and music and Lectio Divina and the scriptures and sacraments and saints and all the wonderful treasures of our church. Scripture, definitely right at the top of my favorite treasure, because I do deal with a lot of anxiety and worry. And I am so grateful to God that He gives me every tool that I need to overcome every fear that I have. Let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear good and gracious God, we are so grateful for all the gifts that you give us. We're grateful that you ask us to cast our anxieties upon you, because you do care and you will take care of it. Lord, we thank you that you ask us and teach us to worry about nothing, but pray about everything, and to thank you ahead of time that we know you will lavish us with the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we love you and we adore you, and we're trying with all our hearts to trust you. Please send down your blessing upon each and every one of us. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless, and I'll see you next Monday, 12:30 p.m. Or be sure to listen anytime to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, the podcast that's distributed through Breadbox Media, breadboxmedia.com. God bless.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.